Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth, intern Will here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, talking Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis, who joins us every Monday at 8 o'clock. Corey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm delightful this morning. How are you guys?
We are delightful as well. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Great job on Friday night, Corey. And what did you think of the Titans, a 23-3 win against Atlanta in the preseason? Who were a couple of guys that stood out to you from the Titans and their performance on Friday night?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to be a whole lot different from everybody else. But, you know, I thought Rashad Weaver was excellent. And, you know, he's the guy who really stood out to me. I mean, you know, just being on the sideline, his sheer size out there is noticeable. His power, his length, the way he was able to shove, you know, linemen into the backfield to get to the passer and also set the edge. And I know they're not the starters, but they're the guy in front of him. And that's the only guy he can play. And if he wasn't doing it against those guys, then that would be a problem. But I thought he was good. I thought the whole front was really active. And I thought that was great for Shane Bowen and company. You know, like I said, obviously we didn't see a lot of starters in there, but you can only judge the guys who are out there. And so I thought it was, you know, a really good step forward for him, you know, among other guys. You know, you could pick out other guys on the defensive front, you know, T.R. Tartt, Wyatt Ray, you know, they all played well. And it is great seeing Jayon Brown out there. You know, I think we forget how he's kind of a difference maker for this defense, because he gets to the football, you know, whether it be making tackles or actually getting his hands on it. You know, he is a playmaker, and if he can stay healthy, which has always kind of been the issue, you know, keeping him on the field, he's a guy who makes a lot happen.
Yeah, totally agree. It's probably not talked about enough, Corey. To echo Robbie, you did a great job. Fantastic sideline report.
Really
you did.
Thank you.
Well, and it's not easy. I mean, you know, I've never done it, but I know people who have done it. It's not an easy job at all. You did it very well, and I just want to tap into that a little bit. One, from your vantage point on Darrington Evans, you know, what's your sense on him, because we're just guessing on injured guys, but also just any other just takeaways, big picture, from being on that sideline Friday night?
Well, you know, it was interesting with Darrington because, you know, they checked one knee and then they checked the other, and I don't know if they were going for a baseline, you know, check the healthy one, see how it feels compared to the other one. He wasn't limping around horribly, but that doesn't mean anything. We've seen guys with ACL tears that walked around pretty much just fine. So it's impossible for me to say how hurt he is. He didn't go to the locker room. He stayed on the field with his helmet on. And to me, that's always a very good indication, okay, when a guy stays in. So we'll see how he goes forward. I think what we saw from him was pretty good. Now, obviously, he needs to stay healthy. But, you know, I asked him last week about being labeled a third down back, you know, because of his size and speed, and obviously compared to Derek. And he said he didn't care. He can label me whatever I want. I want to play football. Well, he didn't look like a third down back. I thought he ran with strength and decisiveness and power. And so I thought those were positives. He's just got to be able to stay on the field. You know, I think one of the things that stands out to me overall, you know, being down there, you know, we talk about Mike Vrabel's, you know, command of this football team, and it's there. I mean, it's his team. It happened during commercial break, so we weren't really able to get it. But after the fumbled snap in the second half, and they had given up a long drive for a touchdown, things they weren't looking as sharp as they did in the first half. And he called the entire team over to the bench and circled them around and let them have it. I mean, in a first preseason game, and it was just about playing up to their standard. You know, not playing down to what the competition is on that night, but playing who they are and staying in that moment every moment and playing to that standard every moment and not letting yourself stand for less. And, you know, we talk a lot about culture and the type of environment that you create. And that's part of what he creates for this football team, is an expectation, you know, that you play great all the time. And when you look at those New England teams, yeah, they struggle with Miami once in a while, but they never really, in their really good days, even when they play really bad teams, they never laid a lot of eggs. They pretty much played the same game every week, no matter who they were playing. And that's where he's going with this. And that's, you know, because we've seen the Titans be good, and then they go losing to the Jaguars. And we're like, what the hell is happening here? You know, you just gave one away against a terrible team. Because you can't do that. I mean, it can cost you a home playoff game. And so when you see that in a first preseason game, when you're up 16-3 or whatever it was, it just reinforces the type of culture and environment and atmosphere he's creating.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, obviously Des Fitzpatrick not a factor on Friday, and that's been a popular talking point all weekend long. How concerned are you that the fourth-round pick has not been a factor throughout training camp so far, and it has nothing to do with injury?
Well, I mean, it is concerning because, I mean, I think they traded up to get him as well.
Yep.
But he's a guy that a lot of people liked, you know. So, I mean, it's not like they were crazy, you know, for making that pick. It's not like they, you know, made a giant leap and you're like, man, you know, what were they thinking? But it is concerning, not from the aspect that he can never contribute to this team, but his chances of contributing this year are fading quickly. You know, because eventually they have to just turn the page and focus on the season. And, you know, they can't wait forever for guys to catch up, because there was rookie OTAs. There was mini camp. There is training camp. And, you know, you see other guys seizing their opportunity. And for whatever reason, for him, it's not happening. You know, we had Teron Davenport on Sports Extra last night, and one of the things he suggested is, you know, you got to learn X, Y, Z, slot, alpha, tango, Charlie, all these different spots. Maybe it's time to just put them at one and just say, learn this one, be good at this one, and then grow from there. Because it might be too much for him at this point. You know, his head just might be swimming too much. Everybody's different. And we've seen for a very long time that position is very difficult on young players. The A.J. Browns and Odell Beckham Jr.'s of the world, and the kid up in Minnesota.
Jefferson.
That's why those performances are special, because they don't happen a ton. It's tough, and he is struggling. I can't imagine them cutting a fourth-round pick. I just can't. So it'll be interesting to see how they navigate these waters, because that's obviously one of the deeper rooms on the team.
Yeah, well, I'm going to stick with that, Corey, because first of all, Mason Kinsey was very good Friday. He's been good in camp, but this is, I think he's kind of a classic example of just be careful, everybody, you know, and understand where someone is in the pecking order, and that goes Kobe with the Freeman. Reps. Yeah, the reps that he gets every day. I mean, I think Mason Kinsey would be a great addition to the practice squad. For this team, will give the defense a nice look this year. That's probably best case. But do you think that if Des Fitzpatrick were cut and exposed, that someone would pick him up for their active roster?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. There'll be somebody, I mean, look, Joe, you've been here a while. You've seen some Titan rosters that are thin at wide receiver, right?
Yes, no doubt.
Yeah, and you could bring in one of those guys and say, you know, he may not be able to help us this year, but he's got talent. And next year, he's going to be able to help us. I mean, this isn't Isaiah Wilson, all right? This is just a kid who's struggling. It's a kid who is very talented coming out of college, who is struggling to adapt to the next level. And so maybe I'm wrong, but I would have to think, you know, somebody could pick him up, and they may end up cutting him again, but you would lose him, all right? I'm pretty confident of that somebody would take a flyer. You know, we'd probably take a flyer on him, New England, because they love distressed assets, and he would be a distressed asset at that point.
Corey, what did you think of the quarterback play? Logan Woodside, Matt Barkley, only 23 passes thrown in the game of the Titans, so not a ton of action out there, but what did you think of the way the quarterbacks played?
Well, look, when you're missing your top 6-7 offensive linemen, you're not going to throw a ton of passes, all right? And also, Dean Pease apparently wanted to show Mike Vrabel he still knew how to blitz.
Because
they came after him. But you know what? I thought Logan stood up to it. You know, he took some shots. I thought he delivered the ball pretty well. There was a nice back shoulder touchdown to Cam Batson. I loved when they went for it on that fourth down and completed that, and he threw a really nice ball there. I thought Logan Woodside did nothing but help himself in that football game. And I didn't think Matt Barkley was awful. I think he clearly was a step up from what we were seeing from DeShone Kizer. But I thought, you know, Logan Woodside probably cemented himself as the two a little bit more. Does that mean I think, you know, I feel great about Logan Woodside coming in and winning 2 out of 4 games if Ryan Tannehill goes down? No, but I haven't seen Logan Woodside in a real game. But, look, there was no preseason last year. So for guys like Logan Woodside, this preseason is huge because he just hasn't played a lot of football. And so for him to get out there and get 2 quarters is really important. And, you know, if they settle in, you know, this week and say, you know what, he's our number two, I still think he needs to play a lot in these last 2 games just so he gets more reps, more looks, more live action.
No, I agree. And we were talking about that earlier, Corey. Like, there's even guys who are key players, like, you know, Byard and Jenkins do a series, thanks. Jayon, have a seat. A lot of guys didn't play at all. But then you got, you know, Hooker gets more. Fulton gets more. Yeah. You get some guys who you are going to rely on, but you feel like you need to, you know, have them out there more. And I agree on Woodside. Get him as much confidence experience as you can. I also thought Dylan Raiduns, I thought this was a big night for him, especially after how he struggled early. Kind of looked like he's been picking it up, figuring out a little bit going into the game. And then I thought really, I mean, I watched him exclusively and went back and watched him exclusively. And I thought he was actually pretty good, understanding that he's going against people like Tazar Skipper. But what'd you think of him?
No, I agree with you. I think he is getting his feet underneath him and he is adapting and playing better. I mean, even the sack that his guy got, I don't put that on him. Quarterback left the pocket, and so his guy disengaged and chased.
Yep.
I have a hard time putting that one on him. And he played 2 positions in the game, started at right guard, and then moved out to right tackle. Does that mean he's ready to start? No, but it separates him from Des Fitzpatrick in that he's stepping up to the challenge. He's adapting. He's learning. He's getting better. You know, and also the team has tried to put him in other places. And, I think they're finding that he's might be a little bit more comfortable at right guard at this point, you know, because it's a completely different position. You know, you're not out on that island on the edge. You know, you've got bookends around you. Now, you got to be strong and you got to be stout in there if you're going to play that position because you got some big old dudes that line up in front of you. But you know, maybe that was a key to him kind of getting his footing and feeling better about what he's doing because he is moving forward and he is making you feel better about him having a chance this year to help your football team.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rextra, joins us every Monday at 8 o'clock. Outstanding job on the Titans coverage as well. Corey, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one. Have a good week. Anybody going down to Tampa?
I am for the game. Not going for the practices, but I will be going down for the game.
I'll see you there. I'm going on Friday.
Absolutely. Sounds good. What time's your flight?
I don't know. We count booked it, so probably 3 a.m.
We should do a rant on Cal's travel booking.
The earlier the better, baby.
Do a Corey rant.
That's right.
Cal, let's just say Cal likes to be early. He's like that Progressive commercial where that lady goes, somebody should have left earlier.
That's right. That's Cal. Corey, appreciate you, man.
All right.
See ya.
Oh, that's awesome. So you can see Brady in person.
Cal
backs
are good bucket hats.
How we made it through the entire show so far, and I didn't know you were going down to see Brady in person.
No, you didn't. Yeah. I'm going to soak in the. It'll be like a fountain of youth. Just being in the same stadium as him, probably had like 3 years of my life,
right,
which I've lost from dog poop.
That's right. When we come back, we'll react to what Corey had to say there. Also, have your next opportunity to join the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. That coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Plain Joe texting in. Rex Road will come back from Tampa Bay 5 years younger and the greatest radio host ever just from being in the same building as Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'll be able to, like, do crosswords really well. You know, I'd be able to, like, go to CrossFit, just dominate.
You'll finally be able to train Quinn.
Yeah, Gus and Quinn will be well taken care of.
If I can get within 6 feet of Brady and then touch the dogs, they'll probably just start using the toilet and flushing, right?
Probably so.
But speaking of them, real fast, on my personal text line, Dane from Nolensville says, Quinn barked at me for 2 hours once.
Just 2 consecutive hours of barking.
Vingan says, like a newborn puppy, you have to walk a puppy every couple of hours. They have to go more often. I know, Vingan. He also says Pretzel had accidents until he was 2 or thereabouts. So.
Just put Adam on the Animal Planet. He's an expert. Just whatever he wants. Yeah. Does Animal Planet still exist? Is that still a television station? I don't know.
It has to, right?
So? I don't know. I have no clue.
That's where Shark Week lives, right?
I think that's on Discovery.
That's Discovery.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
But I don't know that Animal Planet's still a thing.
That's a good question.
Well,
I don't know either. I would assume so, but maybe not.
If there were only a device that would tell us such a thing.
Let's see if I can figure that out. Right now, the only thing to figure out, though, is who's going to fill the next spot in our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League.
And we have a roster change already.
We do have a roster change. I think Ron is going to be in. Got a nice email from John yesterday. Could not join the league like he thought when he won the competition, so offered his spot to Ron, who has already been talking trash. So.
John sent us a very nice email about listening to the show, and we appreciate it. And I kind of came away from that thinking like he just doesn't think he can hang in this league because this league is going to be
intense,
a ridiculously competitive league.
That's right.
So hey, you know what, John, appreciate the kind words, giving your spot to Ron, and also recognizing
the quality of this league.
Recognizing that this is the Hurt Locker, if you want to come into this sucker. So
right.
be aware of this, folks, as you try to get in this league and answer this trivia question.
That's right. So we have 5 more spots available. We will have a trivia question every day this week to fill up our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Remember, the text line. You must text it in if you know the answer to this question. And today's trivia question is this. What is Robbie Stanley, which is mine, NFL team and NBA team? We talked about the NFL team. Don't mention the NBA team a lot. You got to be a loyal listener to know my NBA team. If you know the answer, hit up the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025 for a spot in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League.
Must get both correct.
You must get both correct. Can't have one. Definitely can't have zero. Have to get both of them correct. So hit it up. It's been a race to the finish.
I can tell based right now just on the, like, in previous ones, it's been a whole bunch of right answers.
I would just got one.
There you go.
I think this one was too easy.
Took a little, you think it was too easy?
Yeah.
I just feel like we don't talk about the NBA. Yeah, fair every once in a while, but
we got a lot of correct answers coming in. Maybe it was too easy.
All right, we'll get more difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I'll dig up some Greater Manassas Football League quarterbacking stats, see if you can get those right.
Now we've started to get some wrong answers coming in. It's all good. All righty. There's a lot of people wanting to be in this league. The trivia questions for the rest of the week will be much more difficult. We're going to have to figure out a way to narrow this down.
That's fine. We can make it more. Yeah, we can ramp it up. We can ramp it up.
Did have somebody guess the Bulls and the Cowboys.
Okay.
That's not it.
So basically, this is someone who thinks you're just your basic bandwagoner, I guess, huh?
The Bulls and
Bulls,
the Cowboys.
Canadians.
That's not it.
Yankees.
God, if I ever start rooting for the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
Slap me. What'd you think of what Corey had to say there, throwing out the idea that Daron Davenport had last night on Sports Extra? Maybe it's time, if you're the Titans, if you're Mike Vrabel, to simplify things a little bit for Des Fitzpatrick. Maybe have him learn one spot at the wide receiver. I know when you've got guys like that who are not going to be in your top three, you want them to learn everything, because if somebody goes down, you want them to be able to step in regardless of what position it is. Should it be something where if you're the Titans, maybe you change that up a little bit and just say, hey, learn this one spot. And after you learn that one spot, try to work on learning another spot then. Do you think that maybe it's too much for Des Fitzpatrick right now, as Corey Curtis pointed out?
Yeah, but I also I get that thinking for sure. I also can't sit here and say that they've been just completely moving him all over the place and cross-training him and, you know, making his head swim even more. But, yeah, I mean, I understand that idea. You know, but at the same time, look, I mean, this is your profession, and, you know, I think it's some of it is just like, you know, you got to go out and just make plays, and you got to go out and go full bore and block well, and just there's some things that are just – I mean, it's like what Vrabel said about Raidens, and then he said about Weaver afterward Friday. Like, go out there and, you know, just play football. Or Monty Rice, he said this going to the game too. Like, go out and play football and run around, play full speed, make plays, and then there's going to be mistakes, and we will do film, and you'll see your mistakes and you learn from them. But if you think about making the mistake or not making the mistake up front, then you're not going to play. You're not going to play full speed. You're not going to maximize what you are as a player. So I'm sure there's some of that involved here, but, I mean, look, Racy McMath is also a guy who is a rookie coming in, didn't get a ton of reps in college, you know, offensively, didn't for a lot of his career, and he's come in and has made plays, you know, has done some good things. Again, he's faded some too, but, like, he's been out there looking like a player, and we just haven't seen a lot from Fitzpatrick. Still some time.
Some breaking news on the Nashville Predators front. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet reporting that the Predators and UC Soros have agreed to a four-year, $20 million contract extension. 4 years, $20 million. So that is $5 million per year, if my Hendersonville High School math holds up.
Impressive.
So 4 years, $20 million for UC Soros, which means the Predators and Soros avoid arbitration, and the Predators have their goaltender locked up for the next few years.
I like the deal. I like four. I think that's a good number. I think that would work out well. You know, in a couple years, you get the young guy, if he stays on the same track in there, and then you have, you know, at some point, probably those two as your goaltenders, and then you see where you go from there. Soros could be so good and sustain what he did last year that it'll look like a bargain by the end of the deal.
Yeah.
And it could be that it'll time out, I think, pretty well to a transition if that's not the case.
We'll continue to get your thoughts on our text line on the Titans, on UC Soros signing a contract, everything on the table on our text line and phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, by the way. Congratulations to Dennis, who was today's winner in the fantasy football trivia question, correctly guessing the Green Bay Packers and the Miami Heat as my NFL.
And you're in teams. The club, Dennis. You're in the league.
Did have one person guess Colgate, which is great.
I'm sorry, what?
Guess what?
Colgate as my team. Or my toothpaste, one of the two. I don't know what they're guessing.
What, was that an NFL or an NBA
team?
Don't
know.
They just went college? There is Colgate College.
I know.
They didn't guess Crest?
No, just Colgate.
Okay.
Congratulations, Dennis. We'll come back, got more of your thoughts on our text line coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow night on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds begin a six-game road trip against Memphis, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Nashville Sounds Baseball presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Reacting to the breaking news, Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet reporting that the Nashville Predators and UC Saros have agreed to a four-year, $20 million contract extension, which, of course, allows the Predators and Saros to avoid the arbitration hearing that was set, and the Predators have their goaltender locked up for the next 4 years. And I got to be honest, Joe, I think this contract is pretty close to perfect. 4 years, I think, is a good term. $5 million per year. So basically what you've done is you kind of flip-flopped your goaltending pay. I mean, Pecorino made $5 million last year. Now Saros is making $5 million per year. You get David Rittich to come in on the cheap as well. So still not spending all that much at the goaltending position. I think this is a very friendly deal for the Nashville Predators when it comes to UC Saros.
Yeah, because you know we talked about some similar, you know, performance players and deals that are definitely more than that, more like $6 million range, something like that. And I think, you know, the term could have been longer, and I think it's good for the Preds. But I honestly, like, I've felt this way for Saros too. If he is what we saw the second half of last year, and he can sustain that, then, like, if you signed a super long deal here, you know, on the back end, you're going to be, like, underpaid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're him now, you've got your payday, you got some security, you got this job. But also, if you are elite at the end of this, now, you know, you've got still time in your career. You're still young enough to sign another bigger deal,
yep,
potentially at that point. So I really like this from both sides.
Yeah, I mean, Saros is 26 years old. So just turned 26 in April. So he'll be 30 by the time this contract is over. You could still make a pretty good amount of money as a 30-year-old goaltender. Now,
yeah, maybe not. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong when I say a bigger deal. But then again, like, if he's this good, it's possible.
I think especially the annual average value could absolutely be bigger. Now, it's probably
maybe
not going to be
three-year deal
for 4 or 5 years, would be my guess. But yeah, if he plays well, he'll have another payday coming his way. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, I've seen Predators fans already, and some of the responses to Elliott's tweet, well, okay, what about Askarov? What does this mean for him? Askarov is at least 2 years away, and when he plays, he's going to be playing on the cheap the first couple of years. So it's not like you're going to have to spend a ton of money on both goaltenders at that point.
And you want him to have time. You want Saros to work out and be your next top goaltender, and you want Askarov to have some time as his apprentice, just like Saros had time under Rinne. I mean, that's the perfect way for it to work out. And then, you know, you make a decision. Again, the decision could be that you are, you know, you've got to have Saros again, and you re-sign him. But, you know, even if that's the case, I mean, Askarov can be an apprentice for a while. He also could be a trade asset. Either way, like, yeah, you, 2 years, you just forget about it, you know? Right now it's going to be Saros and whoever the backup might be, and you got to let that kid develop.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texting in. Can we just come to terms on how to say the last name of Saros? Pete Weber says it one way, and everyone else says it a different way.
Hey, I hear you. And you know what? I love Pete. Couldn't respect anyone anymore. But I think Pete's wrong.
You might be. Look, I went last year off of the official pronunciation guide that the Predators sent out. And in that, it said Saros. That's what I went with.
Well, I mean, I've asked him. Other people have asked him.
Yeah. And but that's the thing, though. Like, asking some of these guys, like Marty Erat here, apparently his name was Marty Erat, and he tried to switch that like half the way through, and finally he was just like, yeah, I don't care. Call me Erat, whatever.
Yeah.
So some guys, I think, legitimately, they just don't care.
But isn't there one other person who says Saros?
I don't know.
I thought there was somebody else.
Well, there's Bradford who says things like, how they're in their native tongue, how they're supposed to be pronounced.
Yeah, no. Like, wait. Yes. Bradford, how'd you do that?
What name did you just try to pronounce?
Saros.
Yeah.
The way Bradford says it.
And how did you say it?
I mean, he says the roll of the tongue, like, brrr, like I can't do the R.
Granlund.
Yeah, yeah. Granlund. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's amazing.
It's good stuff.
Hey, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate the effort. But actually, we should ask Justin on Saros versus Saros. He may be a Saros. In fact, maybe he is the other Saros.
Maybe so.
That may be the case. Saros. See, I can't roll the R. Well
done. Good try there, Joe.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Frank texts again. Perfect contract for UC, right length and the right amount of money. Saros would have gotten a better term in terms of arbitration, so good to get a deal done now. May have made more money. I don't know. The arbitration's always kind of interesting to me to figure out exactly where he's going to land, because there's a certain criteria that you've got to have as a comparable. Like, a lot of people threw out Grubauer and the contract he just got with Seattle. I don't think he's a comp because he was a free agent. So there's
right,
a different way to go about it.
Always got
to
keep that in mind. That's always going to up the number.
Exactly. So, but good for the Predators to avoid this. We talked about this last week with Adam Vingan. I mean, very rarely do you get through an arbitration hearing, and it's a good thing. I mean, typically, it can cause some hurt feelings. Now, you generally speaking, you move past it, you're able to get over it, and then be pros and go do your job. But arbitration hearings are not a very pleasant experience for the players involved. It's basically just sitting there listening to your teams throw out every reason why they shouldn't have to pay you.
All the reason they actually don't like you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but what about this and this and this? And then on this day, and he showed up late at the arena and, you know, wears tattered jeans after the game instead of a nice suit. Yeah. No, it's good to avoid that stuff.
It is. So good news for the Predators locking down their goaltender. Look, this was, in my opinion, the number one thing you had to figure out this offseason. We talked about Johansson and Duchesne so much. I never believed it was overly realistic that one of those two was going to get moved and that they were going to get moved to Seattle. So you bring in Saros. He played so well coming down the stretch. Now you feel great about your goaltending as you move forward here. And look, you know, David Rittich coming in, it's a nice piece. He's been an NHL starter before. But when they made the David Rittich move, it told me, Saros is going to play a lot. And we knew he was going to be the starter, but Saros is probably going to play, if he can stay healthy, 60 games, 62 games, somewhere in that neighborhood next year. I'd be surprised if that's not the case. So now you've got your goaltender still at a young age, still in the prime of his career, locked down for the next 4 years. Does that make you feel any different about your rebuild now that you know that the most important position you have locked down for at least the next 4 years?
Well, he's one of those guys who certainly is signing up in hopes that this isn't long. You know, like if Forsberg agrees to an extension, say this month or so, Ekholm agrees to an extension, that to me says that those guys think that this can be somewhat brief and not this long, torturous rebuild that some franchises have plunged into in recent years in this league. So, I mean, the idea is that you've got this guy and you have a good team around him soon. Will they? I don't know.
Well, and now the expectations for him are also going to go up, right? I mean, he's the starting goaltender and he's getting paid a lot of money now, and he's got to get off to a good start. That's been the one thing about UC Saros that's not gone overly well, is he's been a very slow starter. Now, as we've pointed out, he's only been the starting goaltender one time during that stretch. And he was the starter to begin last year, did not start all that well, and then was on fire in the second half of the season. Can you get close to the level? Because, again, the level we saw last year down the stretch from UC Saros is not realistic. Like, you can't sustain that throughout the course of a season. Can he get closer to that early on? That's what I'm looking for now, starting in October.
What's he going to be next year? 920 guy? 915 guy? What makes you feel good about this deal? Just that stat. I mean, there's a lot more to it than just that stat.
I mean, if he's around 920, I think you're still feeling pretty good. I mean, look, this has an opportunity very quickly from just a pure dollar amount value. This has got an opportunity to be a steal pretty quickly. I mean, there are some goaltenders getting paid a lot of money in this league that are not as good as UC Saros right now. So this has got an opportunity to be a really good deal for the Predators. He doesn't have to be at 945 coming down the stretch like he was last year. If you told me right now, next year, that Soros is going to end up with a 923 save percentage, I'd say sign me up. That's perfect.
Heck yeah.
I think it would be great. So I think this has an opportunity to be a very good deal for the Predators very early on. So good job by David Poile and the Nashville Predators. This looks like a pretty good deal, pretty team-friendly deal for the Preds as well. Speaking of the Preds, starting development camp today as well. So we'll get to more of that coming up a little bit later.
Gunnar Wolf Fontaine.
He's in the city, baby.
Or,
come on.
To quote Justin Bradford, Gunnar Wolf Fontaine.
Very well done. Joe Rex Show 10-1 today here on the show. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans, their performance against the Falcons on Friday night. What were our major takeaways from game one of the preseason? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth, intern Will here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Frank texting in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe is on a roll this morning. You are. You're bringing the energy, the passion this morning.
You can call him Butter because he's on a roll.
All righty.
Well,
our time with Ryan Porth on the show today has been great.
You're ejected for that, Porth. Well, maybe it's just poop brings out the passion, you know?
Maybe so, to clarify for the dog.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah, dog poop. We were talking about dog poop earlier in case you weren't listening. By the way, Joe on Twitter says he'd like to join the league, but he listens on podcast. Joe, friend of the show, Joe in Nashville. Well, Joe, we tweet out when it's
we
time.
We give you some
to,
warning.
Yeah. So you got to react. You got to react in real time, you know?
That's right. Maybe the notification bell. Maybe you could follow us for the notification bell for the next few days. Get notified.
Speaking of a bell,
announcement.
Speaking of a bell, a few people have told me about the bell on the door. We have friends who have done that, and it has worked. The bell on the door for the
dogs. For the dogs, yeah.
But then the rubbing the nose in the poop.
I don't know if that works.
Really don't do that, and have been told by a lot of people that it doesn't work. So some people say it does. I'm sure, you know, various. I mean, like, look, hiccups. Can I get rid of hiccups? Take a big spoonful of mustard.
Yeah.
I say it works. Doesn't work for everybody. Works for some people. Porth, it probably would work for you.
Oh, yeah. It would work for you.
If you hate mustard, it's more likely to
work. It would definitely work, yeah.
So remember that next time. You got hiccups, you can't get rid of them. Just a big old spoonful. Do you guys even have mustard in your home?
No.
God, isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. You know, mustard's like a natural healant. It heals things.
Yeah, mustard is... it's a very wonderful substance.
Mustard sucks. I don't like mustard.
Tim on YouTube, Joe Rexroad trying to say names when he can't even say sciatica. Uh-huh.
That's a fair point.
You think you'll ever live that down?
Probably
the sciatica and sciatica? I hope not.
I mean, we have T-shirts, so I'm guessing no. That's okay. I deserve it. You got to own that stuff, you know?
It's pretty great.
Sciatica.
There you go.
That's right. Joe, the Titans a big win on Friday night, 23-3 against the Falcons. And as we know, preseason football games, very important to both win the game and to predict the winners correctly, as we find out on Friday on Twitter as well. What did you take away from the game on Friday for the Titans? Who were a couple of guys that really stood out in Atlanta for the Titans in their big win on Friday night?
Well, we've talked about Rashad Weaver is the first name you think of. And I think of Dylan Raiden's early, too. I mean, I think rookies just have to be viewed a little bit differently. You can't expect most rookies, really, to just be full go. I mean, there's always in every camp rookies that are standing out and are, like, demonstrate, yeah, this guy's going to be ready to, like, A.J. Brown is a rookie? It didn't take long to see, boy, that looks like a pretty good pick. But I think with those guys, I think they're like most rookies, which is you got to expect some time to figure things out. And Raiden's had certainly some trial by fire in practice. And we'll see. This week, we'll see how he does against good pass rushers in Tampa Bay. They may not play a ton Saturday night against those guys, but they will see them in practice. You know? So he got some great players to go against on practice. But Radon certainly stands out to me as a guy who looked like an offensive lineman figuring out with good feet. I thought he did a really good job at times of recognizing blitzes. And actually, even in when he's on days when he's been on an island and just been torched, he's always, I think, been pretty solid in terms of recognizing a stunt or a twist and handing off and you know, kind of just having good recognition. But I thought he looked like a football player who could maybe help this team. And I would not have guessed that a week ago that he was trending toward that. We've been talking about him. Maybe a week from now we'll be talking about Des Fitzpatrick figuring it out. But, you know, he's the new rookie kind of on the hot seat. But other guys beyond that, obviously Chester Rogers, you know, the kickers and quarterbacks. You know, I thought that Mekhi Sargent is a guy worth talking about. Now, now I look at him, and you look at Mason Kinsey, and you can say, wait a minute. We're talking about preseason, and it's just the snaps in the second half, and he's a camp guy. I don't know that Sargent is just that. I actually think Sargent has a chance. I have not been all that impressed with Brian Hill. Now, Jeremy McNichols has a lot of trust. He was the third down back last year. They know with him they have a certain amount of reliability if Darrington Evans is not healthy. But I wonder if Sargent might have a chance to pass those guys and be the guy behind Evans. Right now I would not predict that, but I do think that he's making a case. And he look again, this is not just Friday. This is day after day in camp, he gets a ton of carries. Sometimes it's just we need somebody to take these carries,
yeah,
to do these reps. But I think he's really acquitted himself nicely, and I thought in pass protection Friday, he had a couple good reps against the blitz where he recognized it. There was another time they got overwhelmed, but, I mean, he had two guys to block, so I don't – you know, what do you expect the guy to do? I mean, they just brought more bodies than the Titans could deal with. Up the middle – you know, was a problem. Daniel Munyer was a problem. And I think another takeaway from this game is, like, you know, obviously they don't have Ben Jones, but they need, like, Aaron Brewer. They need some other guys to take some reps at center. Cole Banwart did, undrafted rookie, also an Iowa guy, and he had a bad snap. So they've had a lot of issues there.
They have, and one of the interesting battles has been at tight end as well. And a guy we've not talked about yet, Miller Forstall out of Alabama. 3 catches, 20 yards, including the touchdown grab that he had as well from Matt Barkley on Friday. What did you think of Forstall? Did he put himself in a position where maybe realistically he can make this team with the Titans?
So I think Forstall falls into the Kinsey category for me. You know, there's going to be guys who make plays in preseason games, and you just have to understand where they are in the pecking order. I do think that Miller Forstall is someone who they wouldn't mind on the practice squad if it worked out that way. But, yep. I mean, good for him. Made plays in the game. You know, that's all you can do. You go out there, you take an opportunity, and you do something with it. But I think what one thing you saw was another guy who played a ton because they want to see him playing because they think that he could help this team, and that's Tommy Hudson. Tommy Hudson, 89, was out there a lot. And that, to me, is the fourth guy. And then with the top three, of course, of Firkser, Stocker, Swaim. And look, maybe there isn't four. Maybe Hudson beats out one of those veterans, but that would be the clear top four to me. So Forrestall, good job, good for him, but no.
And then another negative for the Titans on Friday, Darrington Evans, who – was running the ball pretty well. I mean, he had 4 carries, 26 yards, had a 15-yard run in there as well. Looked like he was doing some good things. And as you've pointed out, I thought he was going to be a pretty busy man in the first half of that game for the Titans. Leaves the game with an injury, and we know his injury struggles last year. Had a tough time staying healthy with the hamstring. Was a knee injury this time around. But he's got to get to a point where he can just be reliable and be on the field, because when he is – I think we can see the flashes of a pretty good player when he's healthy. He's just not been healthy enough so far.
Yeah, that game would have been a lot different. I really think that Evans was going to get a lot of work because, like Woodside and Hooker and some of these Fulton, young players who, even though you're going to rely on them, so there's some risk, like it's worth having them out there. It's worth having them work some things out and just, you know, gain some confidence. And I think Evans would have played a lot, and I think he probably would have had some big plays in that game, because he is. He's explosive. And so now another setback. And then how long does that setback take for him to get, to get back on the field? It's tough. It's tough for him. Look, some players are simply injury prone at this level. I mean, let's face it. Most humans would fall apart immediately playing a week of this stuff. So you just hope, if you're the Titans, that that's not the case. If that was the situation with Corey Davis early in his career, and he got healthier and he was able to stay on the field more. But this year, I just feel like Evans could be a really important player for this team, an underrated player, and now this is open up. And so then who do you look at if he's gone for an extended period of time? I mean, McNichols is probably the safe guy.
Yep.
Hill, to me, he's been okay, but I don't think he's like made a compelling case.
Well, as Dennis points out on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, the thing that scared me about Evans was that it was a non-contact injury, and Evans not out there again yesterday at practice either. So,
yeah,
something to keep an eye on as we move throughout the rest of this week here too.
I mean, those things can also be like a mild sprain.
Sure.
So, I mean,
well, and if there's any reason to be hesitant too this time of year, like there's no point in putting him back out there if there's any reason for hesitancy.
No, there's no. But there is, I think, a real desire to have him out there and get him ready to give this offense another dimension. So now how much of a setback does it, we'll see. I mean, I'd be surprised if he does much this week. But then you hope like next week he'd be able to be back or thereabouts to give him a chance to matter in the opener and beyond.
When we come back, there was a pretty notable omission from the Titans on Friday that did not have much of an impact, has not had much of an impact so far in training camp. What's the concern level surrounding Des Fitzpatrick? We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.